Hi, I'm Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
We're not from Memphis, but we love it.
Welcome to Memphis Type History, the podcast.
So today on Memphis Type History, the podcast, we've got an interview show, and it's just me here, Caitlin, talking to Afton Locken, who runs this amazing Instagram account that I'm obsessed with, and it is at Mid-Century Memphis. And she is going to talk to us about mid-century architecture in Memphis, because that's her Instagram feed. And like I said, I'm obsessed with it. So I just wanted to learn more about it. I thought you guys would probably be interested as well. So hi, Afton.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is fantastic. So in thinking about mid-century modern architecture in Memphis, I think it's important to look at the city itself as a whole during the 40s, 50s, and 60s. When I think of mid-century Memphis, I think of the television show Mad Men. It was this new era of sophisticated glam. I imagine people giving each other cheers with shiny martini glasses, going cosmic bowling on weekends, or watching a movie under space-age stars at the new drive-in. I mean, the city was prospering. Everything was new and cutting edge. And quickly, for any listeners who maybe are not quite familiar with mid-century modern architecture, let me give a brief description. Anything that looks like it's from the Jetsons, you know, you look at roof lines and you'll see these cantilevered roofs, which is when they extend way farther out than you might think, but they're balanced by the rest of the structure. You might see a roof that's in the shape of a V.
So when you say cantilevered, because this is something that I definitely hear a lot for mid-century architecture, when you say that, and you say it's balanced by the rest of the structure, do you mean like architecturally balanced, as in like structurally and visually?
Right. Structurally and visually can go either way. You definitely see a lot of asymmetry in mid-century modern design, but there's also a lot of perfectly geometric buildings as well. And there's even those very rounded edge buildings that certainly commemorate the space age look. So there's all sorts of styles. I think that cantilevered roof, you know, as you're obviously familiar with, a lot of people recognize that pretty easily. Roof lines are a good spotting point for finding the buildings. There's butterfly roofs, which literally are in the shape of a V. You might see what's called a folded plate roof, which is a zigzag. Definitely look for something called breeze block, which is that patterned concrete block that makes up a wall. There's a lot of large panels of glass, a lot of steel, a lot of concrete, a lot of new materials at the time. So, but once you know what you're looking for, it's so easy to spot a mid-mod building. They're really easy. It's a very distinct style. And once you kind of are familiar with it, you'll never miss it again as you go by. So,
oh, I was going to ask more about that time period and like how that, why that style kind of came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So that time period for Memphis produced the major things that we love and that we remember about the city. Elvis Presley forging the road for rock and roll in the 1950s. Barbecue, something we all adore in Memphis, that became commercially popular post-World War II. And a lot of the little barbecue shops in town are perfect examples of mid-mod architecture. Also during that time, Memphis became a catalyst for the civil rights movement with the assassination of Martin Luther King in 1968. And ironically, through that tragedy, the Lorraine Motel, the site of the assassination, has literally become a time capsule for that date, which happens to be a very nice example of mid-century modern architecture. So all of these major events, you know, where things were exciting and dangerous, it was the atomic era, but there were sleek and new, life was bringing on big and different changes, it translates into the buildings of our city. So to hone in on the architecture specifically, mid-mod, as most of us would recognize it, probably really got started here in the 1950s. That's when newer, younger architects were brought into existing firms. Our government and big commercial buildings were being newly commissioned. So the work primarily started downtown and worked its way east with suburbanization, adding schools, more storefronts, other amazing projects like our Coliseum. More recognizable buildings would be the Memphis College of Art, the Mud Island River Park. Our airport is very mid-mod. You know, as you can see from the Instagram project, there are literally hundreds of examples. I'm not even close to documenting a fraction of them, but you know, a lot of them are living and they're well maintained, and some of them are completely abandoned and just needing a new life again.
Okay. So it sounds like maybe Memphis has more of those buildings than other cities might. Is that the case? And because we have more buildings from other time periods, we have more than other cities do because of history and the way that the city developed. And so I'm wondering if that's the same for Mid-Mod, and if so, just if you could talk a little bit about that.
Actually, I believe we might be a little short on Mid-Mod architecture for Memphis. You know, we're being being a southern city, it's always been a little conservative. We were actually a little bit slow to adopt modernism in our architecture. And one of
that's almost even more interesting because now we need to go look for it.
Exactly. And I think that it makes what we do have that much more of a good find and that much more valuable to our urban landscape. So I think it's really nice that people are paying attention to what we have and appreciating that it is, like you said, that much more special. So, and Memphis remains kind of a conservative town with more conservative tastes. And I think that's what gives the city a lot of charm, but it also makes these really cool modern structures sort of pop from that other older history that we already have.
Okay. What about, so then let's talk a little bit. I just want to know, like, this is like such a specific area of interest. And then you've got your Instagram at Mid-Century Memphis, where you post these great buildings and the little bit of, I mean, usually the captions have what it was built, when it was built, what it's built for, and what it's being used now. But then sometimes you've got a little bit of extra info in there that maybe you were able to dig up. Like, why this interest? Where did this come from? Why are you doing this?
So I moved to Memphis in 2014 for a job. And as I was getting to know the city, just driving around, figuring out where things were, I just started to notice that Mid-Mod architecture was everywhere. And pretty soon after I moved here, I actually went to the Modernism Week that they have every year in Palm Springs, California. So it was fresh on my mind. You know, I was already thinking about it, you know, visually. I had just gotten a whole ton of Mid-Mod architecture to look at and came back home and just realized how prominent it really is. And interestingly, a lot of the buildings I was noticing were vacant and kind of dilapidated, but I decided I liked them and I should at least take pictures while they're still here and started posting on the Instagram. I think because these abandoned buildings kind of give that grungy urban look that we all love on Instagram, in addition to the Mid-Mod enthusiasm, it makes it a really cool feed. So it is
essentially very Instagram friendly.
It is. I think it caters to multiple tastes. So it's certainly working and I'm glad people like it. For me, it only started out as a hobby. It's basically me geeking out over taking picture of a folded plate rooftop or some brie soleil that I just saw somewhere. But over time, it certainly developed into advocacy a bit more. You know, these buildings, they need publicity to be shown as worth saving and restoring. And I've seen examples of advocacy working to bring preservation to mid-century modern buildings just in the time that I've been here. So a few people have asked if I'm some sort of an historian. I'm totally not. I'm just
same here. I get that a lot. Like, no, I don't know.
All the information I post is on public record. And I have been fortunate to find some other great resources with people who actually are established architect professionals or historians, and they've been helpful with me digging up some added tidbits about what I find.
Very cool. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I think there are a lot of people in Memphis, like you and me, and Rebecca, who are really interested in the history, but I mean, we're not historians by any means, so we're always kind of out there collecting information from other people or learning their stories and then documenting them in whatever way. It's kind of like with us, it's our book and our blog, and now this podcast with you, it's your Instagram feed. And I know you have a website tie-in, and like, you know, we're kind of like pulling things together because we're interested in it. So it's kind of funny because I'm sure you also experience, like, I'll get questions about history, things that I don't know anything about. I'm like, I don't know, but I can find someone.
It is fun to do the research. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to go back. I love revitalization stories. And so can you tell me about some of these buildings that were saved and just any, I guess, success stories that are your real particular favorites?
Yes, a good point of reference for those success stories would start with our Memphis Heritage Commission. Back in 2011, they called for submissions from the public for the 10 most endangered buildings in Memphis. We came up with 12 because two of them were tied. So three of the buildings on that list are Midmont buildings, and that would be the Sears Crosstown, the Chiska Hotel, which I do include because even though it was built in the late 19th century, the Motor Lodge was added in 1961, and our Mid-South Coliseum. So starting with that Sears Crosstown, that was a Sears distribution center. It's very Art Deco, which is early mid-mod, and the building kept expanding into the 1960s. It was abandoned in 1993, but that is now reopening this spring as a stunning Crosstown concourse, which is a huge mixed-use space, and I'm so excited to see the finished project. So that's a wonderful success story. The Chiska Hotel, that was abandoned back in the 80s, and it reopened in 2015 as both apartments and commercial space. And the last one, I think this one deserves a drum roll before we announce it, is our Mid-South Coliseum. It was built in 1963 as a big event venue. It's a huge part of Memphis history. You know, the Beatles played there on their final tour. And it looks like a giant flying saucer spaceship, which is awesome. And it's been...
Yeah, I love it.
I do too. I mean, you can't miss it. It's huge. And it's so atomic age. I love it. But it's been closed since 2006 with an undetermined future until it was recently announced that our very own local Wiseacre Brewing Company is going to be moving in, moving their operations. And I'm absolutely thrilled to hear that that is what the new project with that building is going to be to save it. So, you know, a huge part of these success stories is because people care. You know, the public made that list, and advocacy is a huge asset.
Maybe need to like compile a list of all the buildings that need to be saved by beer, and we could just put breweries in all of them, and beer can save Memphis.
I feel like that could go so well. I mean, you know, economically, you've got jobs, you've got tourism, and then everybody's happy because there's beer everywhere. I think that's brilliant. We need to put you on the board. Yeah, you're in charge.
Put me on it.
You're in charge for sure.
I don't even like beer, but I like the community that beer creates.
It makes
everyone
people
just
happy.
Yeah, it does. All right. Well, done with this podcast. I'm going to go save Memphis with beer. So let's talk about I'd like to know your most favorite building.
That is such a hard choice.
You can pick two if you have to, because I can never pick my favorite anything.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll pick, let me pick something that has a bit more of a story behind it, if that sounds
okay.
Good. So,
yeah,
one that comes to mind, you know, Memphis is synonymous with music, our blues and our rock and roll. But something that perhaps some folks don't know is in the 50s and 60s, it was also a hub for jukeboxes, which how mid-century is that? And there was
I feel another podcast episode coming on about Memphis jukeboxes. All right.
I know. I started reading into this when I first got interested in, and I couldn't believe what a boomtown it was for jukeboxes, but it was totally a thing.
They're my favorite thing.
There was a commercial equipment company called Sammons Pennington that got into the jukebox biz as a distributor. And in the Mid-South at that time, there were about 175 other jukebox companies, and they would all come to showcase their machines in Memphis at the Sammons Pennington store. So in my curiosity about this, I came across a letter from Sammons Pennington to Elvis Presley for the repair of his personal jukebox, which they did for free,
thanking him.
You know, they said, your music has done so much for our business. Thank you very much. No charge. That was basically the message. And, you know, they may have been right because Sammons Pennington did continue business decades after that letter. In 1966, they moved to a new building on Monroe Avenue, which is the one that came to mind. Now, the reason they moved there has a little more of a backstory as well. Their old location was slated to be torn down to make way for something called the Urban Renewal Project. And this project was a mega plan proposed in the late 50s, basically to make the riverfront prettier. The idea was this massive complex. It was going to have high rises, apartment buildings, a 35,000 square foot shopping center, parks, walkways. My personal favorite was a plan for a circular restaurant literally hanging over the Mississippi River.
And what?
None
Glass
of that ever
floor?
Happened.
Maybe.
None of that ever happened. Nothing happened.
So for decades, Memphians have been trying to figure out how to beautify the riverfront, and the plans are still never happening. I guess some of the plans are happening about this. And you do any research and you start to see like, oh, and this is what they wanted to do at the river, and it never happened, or like stuff on Main Street or whatever. And it's so funny.
It is. It remained a fantasy, you know, but it was a big deal at the time, and it ties into the mid-century architecture because a lot of the idea of that style was form over function, and it tied in so well to city planning and live/work/living spaces. So that was the idea.
Very cool.
Never happened, you know, city planning and budget, all that fun stuff.
I mean, that's huge, especially in the 50s, I would think. I mean, it actually kind of sounds a little bit like futuristic in a way, like to put all that kind of stuff together seems more like a plan you would see today than maybe in the 50s. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And maybe to put on a colony in Mars. I mean, this was essentially a mini city that they were trying to build on our riverfront.
Yeah.
So, and we were obsessed with space back then, you know, and many of us still are, which is a good thing. But so the plans never happened. It's okay. It's a beautiful lost dream. But that little jukebox building on Monroe still remains. They're no longer selling machines. There is a picture of it on the Mid-Century Memphis Instagram account. It is this lovely, simple little building. It's this white and pale blue brick with a gorgeous matching breeze block that are all ceramic coated. It's so pretty when you look at it up close. And while I can tell you a lot about the jukeboxes there, I know very little about that actual building. I couldn't find when it was built. I know that Sammons Pennington moved there in 1966, but couldn't find any property records beyond that. Now, currently, Holiday Flowers, another wonderful local business, has pretty recently opened their event location there, and they have done a beautiful job reusing that building. I had a wonderful opportunity to take a tour, and they've turned everything into their magical Wonderland workshops. But the basement at the time was still filled with jukeboxes, pinball machines, record players.
Man.
It was a vintage geek heaven. There were all sorts of relics. It was amazing. So I'm drawn to that building. It's mysterious. It kind of has a little known trinket of our music history. And it ties in that whole urban renewal project, which, you know, as we said, kind of embodied the big changes at the time.
That is so interesting. Well, if anyone listening has information about this building, do you happen to know the address off the top of your head?
It's at 440 Monroe.
Okay. If anyone listening has any idea of earlier history of this building, who the architect was, or any uses of it before the jukebox company or anything like that, let us know. MemphisTypeHistory@gmail.com. Or let Afton know. Either one. We'll pass the message along or you can send it to her.
Yeah, I would love to know. So, end the mystery.
Well, that kind of leads us into talking about what if people want to explore this type of architecture? You know, maybe they want to go see that building on Monroe. Maybe they want to start looking for ones themselves. How would you recommend people start exploring? And then I'm going to ask you to give us some good starting points for each era. Like what would be maybe the first building that people should go see to really get that motivation to keep exploring?
Absolutely. So if I were to do a day of mid-mod in Memphis, first of all, I would have to start with breakfast at Arcade Restaurant in the South Main District of downtown, classic 1950s diner. And from there, you're close enough to walk around the Civic Center Plaza, and that has our state and federal buildings, there's City Hall over there. It gives a really good functional idea of the pristine, breathable city space that the architects of the time really envisioned for Memphis. And from there, I would take the monorail across the Mississippi River and see Mud Island River Park. That was another award-winning mid-mod construction. Grab some barbecue around lunchtime, you know, spend the afternoon at Overton Park, and that's where you can see the Memphis College of Art, which is, again, another fully functioning example of that style. And from there, you know, let's pretend Wiseacre is fully up and running out at the Coliseum. Go check that out for the evening. And if you're still going at, when the day is done, then dance the night away at Rayford's, because if there was ever a true time capsule, that is the place. And it is a 1970s disco. But, you know, I have a lot of fun just taking pictures. I will pick a road for the day and just go straight for a while, see something, come to a screeching halt in the car, get out and take a picture. You know, it really is everywhere if you kind of know what you're looking for it. To give some more distinct examples from the 50s, 60s, and 70s specifically, from the 1950s, I would check out the Cossett Library downtown. Now, that one's interesting. It originally was this big red stone Romanesque Victorian style behemoth. And they tore it down and replaced it in 1958, which did not make a lot of people very happy. So that building got a lot of criticism because of what they did to the original building. But I like it. I think it's cool. It is. There's a whole glass wall on the front that is protected by a brise soleil, which are those long slats running vertically that can change direction to provide shade indoors as the sun moves throughout the day. It's before tinted glass was available, before insulated glass. It's a good example of mid-mod green technology of the time.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So for the 60s, I would go with Regions Bank on Lamar Avenue. That is one that I actually posted recently. It was built in 1962. It's the one that's shaped like a hexagon or two hexagons, actually, that are connected. And that shape, while it looks cool, actually provides the function. The structure itself spans out in that shape, which provides its own support, so there's no need for interior columns. It's actually very spacious if you go inside. So again, that's
interesting.
It is. It's the form and function coinciding really uniquely in that building, and it's just cool to look at. And moving into the 70s, I would probably pick the Visible Music College, also downtown, built in 1972. It's a very simple triangular building, but one whole side is a big slanted glass wall, which makes this huge atrium inside. And that's a good example of indoor/outdoor space. That was another prominent concept of mid-mod architecture. So, I mean, have at it. You'll find stuff around every corner, okay. But those are some specific examples worth checking out.
That's great. We're going to put those for you guys on Patreon in detail. So I'm going to get with Afton and we're going to put together that itinerary for you. So if you go support the show and become a Patreon supporter, patreon.com/Memphis Type History, you can get all that complete rundown without having to go back and take notes from this interview. Okay, so I've heard a lot of really interesting architecture terms. You know a lot about these buildings. I want to go exploring, even though I live on the other side of the world now. So everyone has to do it for me, and I can live vicariously through you. But I want to know, like, okay, let's say someone goes, sees these top buildings, gets really interested in this. How do they start learning about mid-century architecture like you have?
So for me, I have been very fortunate to meet some great people who have helped me find out more information. I give a lot of credit to a woman in town named Judith Johnson. I may be an advocate for mid-mod, but she is the Memphis champion. She is an architectural historian who puts mid-century modern properties on the National Register of Historic Places. She's also a real estate broker with InCity Realty, and she specializes in listing and selling mid-mod properties. She's just a wealth of information, and I've touched base with her periodically, asking questions, getting her opinion, getting ideas on how the city might move forward with this type of architecture. I've also gotten a huge amount of help from our Memphis Heritage Commission. June West is the executive director there, and she has pointed me in some good directions. Through them, I obtained these brilliant surveys that were written by four active architecture professionals in Memphis, and they document prominent buildings from 1940 to 1980. They have a little history behind them. They list the architecture, anything interesting structurally about them. They've done a wonderful job just as a preservation, at least in document form, of what these buildings are and what they mean and what their history is. So I've met some great people. I've gotten some really good resources, and it's been helpful. I would like to see more education available. You know, it'd be so cool to have some classes or maybe some more media outlets, you know, radio or local TV, or just something that gives the public a bit more information.
Yeah. What do you think that the future of preserving this form of architecture in Memphis looks like right now?
I think we're doing a good job. Some of the big buildings have already been taken care of, or they're underway with really good projects. Personally, I would love to see some tours. I think it would be so cool to have our own mid-mod.
That's what I was thinking when you were saying, like, have more education. I was like, photo walks and history tours, and my mind is like going.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we certainly have the urban landscape for it, and I think there's enough of an interest, and it's just another offering that we have for out-of-towners to come in and check us out. So I would love to see that. I mean, I have my own idea of, I think it'd make a great book with photographs and information, and where proceeds from sales could go to some sort of restoration efforts. Ultimately, citizen advocacy leading to preservation, I think, is the keystone of our future. So creating groups that support preservation, that's really what people can do to help. Rehabbing mid-mod buildings can make sense economically. You know, there's 20 cents to the dollar tax credits available. It's an opportunity to create jobs. Just the owners and the developers of the buildings need to know that it is important to citizens so that they can make that decision. And again, educating the citizens through any outlet that we can find is going to help support that supports beneath it all.
Yeah. And then I think one last thing just about the buildings in particular is that we have these buildings that I think are valuable to preserve. Many others seem to think so as well. They're so interesting to look at. They hold a lot of history, and they really tell a lot about architecture from that time period, right? They're kind of a time capsule. And so we tend to focus on the buildings because that's what we see. But I'm also really curious about some of the people behind the buildings. And do you know much about some of the architects, or, you know, like, as people go out and explore these buildings, I think it'd be so interesting if they had a jumping off point for, like, who made some of them and whose work they're really experiencing.
Yeah, that's a great question. And we should absolutely give a shout out to the professionals of the time. Memphis had a handful of talented architects who were really at the forefront of that design. The first one that comes to mind is Alfred Adelot. He did a number of the government buildings that you would see in the Civic Center Plaza. He also had his office in Midtown on Peabody Avenue, which is now a private residence. And the current owner, I've been driving by there recently, has done a stunning renovation. And I'm so jealous. I wish it was my house, but it looks amazing. Oh, amazing. Yeah. It's so cool. I'm so glad someone has made a really good use of that really unique building. So that's hanging out there and looking great. Wach C. Jones was another very established architect. He was a graduate of Yale. A good example of one of his buildings would be the Catholic Boys High School Gymnasium, which is this big, bright blue and brick building that really encompasses the space of a gymnasium. It's very cool. Francis Ma, also very prominent in Memphis, another Yale graduate. He partnered with Jones. He designed the Southern College of Optometry. He designed that big, tall, glass, cylindrical building that's the Hyatt Hotel out in East Memphis. And last but not least, I would mention Roy Harover, another Yale graduate, a lot of smart guys. He designed Memphis College of Art and our airport. So he had some really big projects. These were very well-educated, award-winning architects, and their contributions to our cityscape really shouldn't be overlooked.
Very cool. Okay, well, unless there's, is there anything that you'd like to add for anyone's information about, like, if they want to get into this, start exploring? Because I'm about to ask you some rapid fire mid mod questions.
Oh my goodness.
So now's your chance. If there's anything else people need to know.
No, I'm glad to see that people are paying attention to it. You know, the next step is to sort of formalize your own interest into some sort of advocacy group. So if anybody has an interest in that, you know, Mid-Century Memphis is a good community to get started. I'm sure Memphis Type History has a great interest as well, or at least followers would be interested. So yeah, just get together and stand up for it.
Okay. I love that. All right, here we go. If you were going to write a book with a Mid-Century Memphis building as the main character, which one would it be?
I would pick the Shelby County Sheriff's Substation. It is this big, looming, imposing, brutalist style building. It's got this massive, crazy concrete walkway over the entrance, and it's so weird. It's this weirdest mystery building built in 1966, and I just feel like it would be a giant of a character. I love it.
Okay, that's awesome. That's one to go see, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of off the beaten path, which also makes it a little more mysterious. So I think that's a good characteristic of that building.
Mm, that'd be a very good book character. Okay, if you got in a fight with a Mid-Century Memphis building, which one do you think you could take?
That's awesome. This is kind of sad, but I would say that old movie theater at the end of Beale Street, because it is run down and I am a puny little lady and I cannot take on anything very strong. And I think that might be easy to kick in, but I would love to see that building, you know, get strong again and be able to take me instead.
That's great. All right. If you suddenly found yourself to be immortal, which mid-mod building in Memphis would you choose to live in forever?
I would pick the state office, again, in that Civic Center Plaza. It has a beautiful view of the river. It's a wonderful, strong building. you know, it's very stately. I think it's a nice place that you would never really get bored of, in a good location.
Excellent. All right, last one. If you could take over one Mid-Century Memphis building and turn it into anything you want, no limitations, what would you do?
Well, let me try to think of an abandoned building. One building I've always had an eye for is another one that I posted recently. It is downtown on Madison Street. It was built in 1952. And again, I know absolutely nothing about it. It's this lovely, very simple building on a corner attached to a parking garage. And if I could have my way, I would turn it into an awesome coffee shop and call it Mod City Coffee. But I do think it does have plans. I think it has plans. I think someone is actually working on it. So I'm excited to see what it becomes.
Oh, that's great. I'd love, oh man, a little mid-century modern coffee shop that you could just like chill in all day. That, I mean, it'd be the perfect stop on a architecture tour itinerary.
Absolutely. Hint, hint to whoever wants to get entrepreneurial out there. And yeah,
someone get on it.
Wouldn't you order?
Make it happen.
Who doesn't want to order a latte there and sit in a butterfly chair for a couple of hours?
Oh man. Yeah. How great could it be too, if it was like a coffee shop during the day, but then it was like a Mad Men style bar.
Martini bar.
It flips.
Yeah. I mean, this could totally work. You know, you fly into our Aerotropolis, our little airport, which the columns themselves look like martini glasses, and just have a, you know, midnight weekend. It would be cool.
I love it. All right. Afton, where can people find you?
The best way to contact me is just a direct message on my Instagram at Mid-Century Memphis. I try to get on there as much as I can during the week, and I love what everybody comments. I've gotten some great information about things I didn't know, and if we can help each other find out some more of these mysteries on the buildings, let me know.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for being with us today, Afton. I learned a ton, and it's so nice to put a face to the Instagram feed that I've been loving since whenever it was I discovered it. I don't even know. But it gives me that little bit of connection to Memphis, and I learn a lot from it. And I recommend everyone go follow and just get into this. Go explore. Go find some of these buildings. Post them. Tag all of us. Show notes with all this information will be at memphistypehistory.com/midcentury. So memphistypehistory.com/midcentury for some links and further information. And then, you know, as always, we have Patreon. So if you want to go to patreon.com/memphistypehistory, you can get that itinerary. You can get behind the scenes stuff for as little as $1 a month to support the show. All right, Memphis, that was Memphis Type History, the podcast for this week. We're signing off.
We like your type.
You've been listening to Memphis Type History, the podcast. It would mean so much to us if you head over to iTunes and give us a rating and review. Be sure to subscribe and never miss an episode.
Want to be part of Memphis Type History and get behind-the-scenes content, merch, and more? Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/memphistypehistory. That's Patreon, spelled patreon.com/memphistypehistory.
Find more Memphis Type History on our blog at memphistypehistory.com, on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest as Memphis Type History, and on Twitter at Memphis Type.